This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, 11:02 on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney Show. Modest Teak, he is filming Wheel of Fortune. Some of the people on that show are so dumb. And they really are. I mean, it's like a nine-letter word. You got six. I mean, there's only so many options, and they still mess it up.
They've had the time where they've actually had the whole word, and they just said they pronounced the name wrong.
Oh, you said I don't remember that.
And they
that,
still really? Got the buzzer. It's like you didn't say it right.
Really?
Oh, dude, you could go there. There was a college one, and okay. that was the worst. And the guy kept on getting everything wrong. He kept on saying the wrong
name.
It's a 3-minute thing on YouTube. Go find it. Look
I'll
it
find
up.
It.
You'll laugh your butt off.
Wait, they gave him more than one chance?
No, it just kept on coming around to him, and he just kept on screwing it up, and then the girl behind him kept on like racking in all the money. She's like, oh, I got this.
A little backdoor. She started stealing the funds, huh?
No question.
You know, it's funny because I look at a show like that, and Price is right. I used to love game shows as a kid, right? But specifically the Wheel of Fortune. You know, I love my words and whatever, right? In my own mind, I think I would be phenomenal on that show. But, like, there is the very real reality that you get on that show and you kind of lock up a little bit.
Oh,
really?
Oh, 100%.
You know?
I'd
be afraid that I would mess up the most innocuous word and I would look like an idiot.
Gio brought me in once. He goes, you're a big Met fan, right? I'm like, a huge Met fan. So he said, okay, give me the other Mets who were number 21.
Of course, Gio would do that, put you on blast.
But you blank out. Yeah. You have no idea. And the only thing,
Well, you didn't say Paul O'Neill, did you?
No, I did not. I was about to say Don Mattingly, but I knew it was better.
Exactly. You better not say 2-3.
But it's like,
he's ours.
Jeopardy is the only thing I think you have to, know. You're studying everything in the world.
Oh, I'd be useless on Jeopardy. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. And I mean, I say fairly. Without even remotely overstating it, fairly well-read. You know, I watch the news every night. I obviously follow the stock market. I got a little sense of what's going on with everything, I think. I would be a complete zero on that show. Not only would I not know many of the answers, I don't even understand the questions.
Oh, no.
Holy God, that's hard.
And how to respond to the answer?
Well, that I would get. You know, what is? You got to, in the form of a question, whatever. But anyway, so it is now 11:04 after 2 minutes of talking about Tiki, hopefully not vapor locking on Wheel of Fortune. So last night, and I heard something drive it in, and CeeLo was doing the update. Love CeeLo. And Recco was in with Gio. Gio's back. Boomer's still out. So hopefully, I think Boomer's back Monday, I think, but I'm not sure. And they were talking about Beatty's home run. And Chris CeeLo said, you know, he basically teared up watching it. And I'm driving, and I actually have my son with me today, so he's in the back seat. And he saw Beatty's home run with me live, going back and forth. And as Chris is saying this, I'm like, yep, 100% I would tear up. There's no doubt. And I was so surprised. Both of those callous, soulless humans are like, no. And I went in when I got here, just so Colt could say hi, because he knows Gio, and I think he's met Jerry once. He's met Gio a few times. He knows Jerry a little bit. So I wanted to go say hi. Go say hi to Eddie Scazzeri, you know, walk around, say hi to everybody that Daddy works with. And I said, man, you guys are cold as ice. How do you not tear up over something like that? And then Jerry's like, this part I get. He's like, listen, if it was my son, of course I would. But, you know, triggering tears or what might lead to tears for somebody else's son is a different emotion, an emotion that I am proud to say I have. Because when that happened last night, and he's coming around second and third, and he sends up the sign to his mom, and his mom is going nuts. That, to me, is really, really the most beautiful thing that you could see on a sporting field, diamond, arena. There's nothing better. Because if you think about the first pitch, not even the first game or the first at bat, the first pitch against the Braves, who you lost the first two games against, and you want to stabilize, all right? And, you know, like, I understand. You score a touchdown in your first game. Of course, mom and dad are going crazy in the stands. You score a bucket your first game. Of course, mom and dad or aunt, uncle, whomever, older brother, they're going nuts, right? But there's going to be 70 other baskets that night. You know what I mean? It's going to bleed in. And the isolated nature of baseball is what makes baseball so special. You know, you go up to home plate, you got your music, 60 feet, 6 inches away, ready to do battle, you dig in, bang. And I'm thinking about this, like, you know, when you first find out you're going to have a baby, and you're going to be a dad, you know, from our point of view, not from a dad's expecting, you know, from a dad-to-be, not a mom, we're not mom, we're dads, you know, from here. Hoff, you're a good dad, too. You are.
I try.
I will. I can tell. I like the interaction with JD. Good boy. Got to meet your other one too.
Yeah.
But when the child's born and before the child's born, what do? You pray that it's healthy. You don't even. Yes, you think about. I've always joked around like guys don't grow up thinking about. Oh God, I can't wait to get married. Actually, it's the opposite. We can't wait. We're trying not to get married. Really, really. And we're trying not to have kids, if you really want to keep it real. Right, Alf? I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Up until a point, for sure. When you get married, then yes. But yes. Before then, yes.
Then everything changes, right? So, but I did think, you know, when I was getting older, like, man, I can't wait to be a dad, you know? And then you pray that the child's healthy. And then the baby comes, right? And you got the little ball. You got the little $9 glove from Dick's Sporting Goods. Then you have the little fat Flintstone bat. And then you matriculate to T-ball, then the uniform doesn't even fit. And then you get your first real uniform, and now Mike Trout is the cleats that a lot of the kids, our kids, wear. You got the Mike Trout cleats. You got the eye black. You got the wristbands. They're actually becoming ball players, you know. They know the rules. Whether they're really good or not, that's almost immaterial. But they slide. They know what an out is. They win, they lose. They process that. Then maybe you go on to coach pitch from T-ball. Obviously, eventually you do. And then you go to kid pitch and you get your first hit off another kid, which is a monumental achievement. By the way, shout out again to Massapequa. Go get them, boys. And then maybe you hit your first home run. Then you're on your first travel team. Oh, then you get, it just does. And then you get to the major leagues. You get drafted. You move through the minors. And you get called up. By the way, his nickname was Brett the Met because growing up, he played for the Mets. His mom used to call him Brett the Met. And you go yard on the first pitch that you see. I don't know, even though I'm not the kid's dad, I don't know how you can't get moved emotionally by that. That was awesome. Awesome. But I'll tell you what, from a baseball point of view, that was not the most impressive thing that he did last night. I mean, that's the obvious, but it's actually not. And it wasn't almost a double play turn. It wasn't that. It wasn't the first defensive chance he got on that little slow roller. You know, nice little off 1 foot throw. Looked pretty smooth, pretty polished. Nope, not that. It was, Hoff, I need you to do some digging for me here, Hoff. All right? I need you to do some digging. Because you know I love my analytics, but not like a nerd. Like, this is an expiration. Like, I can't get too, like, I embrace it. I know a fair amount of it, but I don't really have time or really even the interest to do this deep dive. But I would like somebody to do it for me. How many players this year have hit a ball the opposite way with an exit velo of at least 110 miles per hour? Because I watch baseball every night, and I don't see it very often. I've seen Stanton do it a few times, like maybe a home run to right field. I'm not saying it never happens, but that was like a half grounder, half liner. Off a lefty, by the way, and Beatty's a lefty if you didn't see him last night. How many players this year go oppo in the infield and it's 113 miles per hour? And then if you want to, you know, extrapolate further from that, how many guys do that and it's a lefty hitter off a lefty pitcher? And I think that he might be one of one. if I had to take a guess, this year. I mean, that portends phenomenal things for this young man. And everything you heard, Beatty mashes. Beatty, and I saw the videos. Like, I've seen the videos of Alvarez and Cabrera and Peraza and Volpe and all the Yankees and Mets prospects. But until you see him dig into a batter's box in a major league stadium, seeing major league stuff, and trying to get a sense of how quick or how slow their heartbeat is, and then the actual mechanics of their swing, Mets just found their third baseman for the next, I don't know, I mean, if he's healthy, hopefully, 13, 12 years, I mean, he's the guy. Unless they traded him for some superstar down the road, Beatty is going to be a star with that swing. That swing was glorious. Man. And then he got like 20 deep of the Beatty crew going bonkers. I couldn't even put my, like, I will admit, I think, like, and even CeeLo said this, as a dad with young kids, because maybe there's a certain point where you get to the realization, whatever, and I'm sure we'll all get there, but your mind drifts, like, hey, why not? Why can't my son or my daughter be this or that? And then to actually see it happen, and as he's hitting third, put his hands up with the gesture for his mom, who is just beside herself, euphoric. That is, you can't buy that. That's the most beautiful thing I've seen all year, honestly. Now, I'm also a highly sentimental sap, as Hoff knows, despite what, you know, when I go on some rants, I'll go on and, you know, challenge some callers. At the end of the day, I'm just a softy with this stuff. That was beautiful. That really was. 877-337-6666. Miriam is in Forest Hills. Back to the phones on the fan. Miriam, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you for calling, ma'am.
I have been on this station since its inception.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. Ooh, yes, yes.
And I think you used to do St. John's basketball, didn't you?
Miriam, you are a well-versed fan. I still do. Yeah, I still do St. John, but I've been doing St. John's with Minko, with John Minko, legend here at the fan for a long time. So you're right. Yep.
I know that. And now, I think I must tell you, I do Jeopardy every night. Jeopardy is a wonderful game.
Uh-huh.
You have to be able to read. I cannot answer all the questions because I cannot see the videos.
Got
but
it.
If I know something, I answer it.
Well, here's the thing, Miriam. If I'm ever on the show, I'll give you a little separate cell phone, and you can give me the answers because it seems like you know them because I don't.
I will. No, you don't have to see to do it. You have to remember what you've read. And there are things I cannot know because I cannot see videos, but I can listen.
No, I understand. Well, I'm saying that you're smarter than me, so I'll get any assistance that I could possibly.
I probably am because I'm probably older than you, too.
I don't know. So what did you think about your Metsies last night, Miriam?
I'm proud of them. I really am. This young man is going to be fine. He is going to hit home runs. He's going to, you know, make good plays in the field. The other thing that I like is I'm also an Islander fan, so when an Islander scores a goal, everybody goes, yes, yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I did yesterday. Yes, yes, yes.
That is a beautiful thing. Let me you prefaced your call with that you've been a fan of the fan since day one. Who was the first host that you ever called up? Do you remember who the first person
Steve
you called?
Summers.
You called up the Schmooze.
Steve Summers and Susan Waldman did the updates.
Oh, well, okay, so you called in 87. Two good choices.
Yes,
there you go. There you go.
Yes, I called Steve Summers. I spoke to somebody named Franklin who hung up on me.
Oh, Franklin. Who? Find that Franklin character. How dare he hang up on Miriam?
He did.
Unacceptable.
I spoke to Steve Summers. I spoke to Howie Rose when he was on the fan, and Howie Rose and I met each other at an Islander game many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to various people. I've met players that I've gone to see. I met Michael Pecca when he played for the Isles.
For the Isles, sure. Pecca, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I met Clark Gillies.
Ah, Clark Gillies, phenomenal.
Clark Gillies called me honey. I was flattered.
Oh, wow. Clark making the move, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I met a whole lot of people. When I was a child, there was a shopping center here called Wallbounds.
Oh, I remember, Miriam. There was a Wallbounds right by where I grew up in Brooklyn. Absolutely. Yeah. Right off Avenue U. Yep.
The players would come, and I met Ernie Wheelwright, and I met Spider Lockhart.
Wow.
And I have to tell you an Art Shamsky story.
Okay,
Art
go ahead.
Art Shamsky, of course, he lives here, mm-hmm. and we're Jewish, and my mother and I went to buy meat, And it said, Art Shamsky is here. So my mother said to him, you talk to my daughter about baseball and I'll buy you your meat.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, and, do me a favor, man. First of all, I'm honored that you picked up the phone to call me since you've been here from day one. So I really appreciate that. But make sure you call us back when Tiki's here so you can say hi to Tiki, too, okay?
I will, and I'll tell him that he should play for the Jets instead of the Giants.
Yes, you make sure you tell him that, Miriam. I'm going to hold you to that.
I will.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Take care of yourself.
You too, ma'am. Have an awesome day, Miriam. Love her. Love her. Love her. See, this is what you don't get doing national radio. You don't get that. You just don't.
You don't get Miriam.
You don't. You don't get anybody, really. I mean, but that's the best. Let's get John down in Myrtle Beach. What's going on, John? How are you today?
I'm good, BT. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir. You got it, man.
Miriam made me laugh when she mentioned Pete Franklin, man. I think that that guy's resume said, I'll be mean to everybody.
he had some teeth to him, no question.
Yeah, he did. He bit. That Brett Beatty, I'll tell you, my wife was watching with me last night. We watched the whole game, and the first thing she said to me after the home run, she said, it didn't even look like he tried hard. Mm-hmm. You know how some swings look like you're driving a railroad spike?
Yes.
But that, it was butter. It was butter. And that's why I think he's going to be good. I think he's, you know, he's obviously off to a start, but you brought up the topic that I called up on, and that was that velo.
Yeah.
I saw the stat that it was the hardest hit lefty-on-lefty ball, maybe, I don't know if it's in baseball or the Mets, since 2006.
I don't doubt it. I mean, as soon as the ball was hit, John, I'm like, whoa. And I believe it was the first pitch that he went after. I think that was the first pitch. I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't remember. I think it was. It was quick, though.
Yeah, it was very quick. And as soon as it was hit, I was like, man, that ball was hit on the button. And then Hernandez started to talk about it, and first of all, it was a really nice play. You know, obviously bad base running, really nice play by the shortstop, but I'm like, he just rifled that ball the other way almost effortlessly. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you watched any of the Yankees. I'm sure you just locked in on
your
Mets.
I watched the end of it.
Okay, you did.
Did you see
Torres' home run, the two-run shot?
I didn't see Torres.
Okay.
No.
All right, got you. But just and I know Torres, when he's on, he looks really smooth. But like Torres's home run last night, even though it didn't go 400 feet, like it looked like he had to muster up every ounce of it. He pulled his hands in like very, like you talk about driving a stake through. It looked, they needed it, and it's a home run, but it looked like it took almost max effort, whereas Beatty just kind of, it was loose. It was different.
Yep.
It was different.
Yep.
I know what you mean.
Hey, I'm your Yankees. You can get off the bridge railing, man. They hang 100 every year, dude.
And but John, that means nothing. That means nothing to me.
I don't care. That philosophy is beatable by good teams. The big everybody coming for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's that. I get you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Listen, John. John, thanks for the call. That's not. I know that sometimes it comes out this way. Maybe not for me. I mean, if it does, it's not my intention. But from some Yankee fans, like, championship or bust. No, I don't know that I'm quite that single-minded. What bothers me, but I also don't want to just discard 100-win seasons like they're meaningless. The reason why 100-win seasons no longer excite me, even though that seems counterintuitive to say, is because they keep ending the same way. That's why. Like, you know, geez, if the Yankees would have won, and they came close a lot in the 80s, they just didn't have the pitching. They had Mattingly, Willie, they had Ricky, they had Winfield, they had Jack Clark. But they had no pitchers. But if the Yankees like would have won 100 games when they were wretched, like with Stump Merrill or Bucky Dent or Dallas Green, then I'd be like, wow, what a season. Because it's unexpected. And it's a deviation from the norm of losing. Yeah, I appreciate turning on Yes and whatever other channels they're on. And generally seeing wins. That's awesome. But there's an expiration date on getting overly excited about seasons ending the same way, especially when you kind of see it coming, because they're built the same way, you know. Oh, what, Hoff? It doesn't change until it changes. Doesn't change until it changes. And you know, I said that about a week or so ago to Tiki, applying it to the Mets. Enjoy it, you know. Be euphoric. Puff out your chest. Talk your smack. You beat the Yankees. Do your thing. Call us up. Let's go. But until the Mets win a World Series, it doesn't change until it changes, even though it really feels like it's changing. And the same application in terms of the spirit of the statement applies to the Yankees. It doesn't change, dot, dot, dot. It's going to be a bumper sticker until it changes. And that means, all right, we love 100 wins. Now do something with it. You know, that seems a little too entitled. Well, tough. That's the standard that they set. And that's our expectation. You know, I don't mean you can't win a World Series every year, obviously. But when you don't win, you can change things a little bit. And I think that that's really been the most difficult thing to reconcile as a fan. Like, the highest level of consternation from a Yankee point of view is going through home run, home run, home run, home run, 9 runs, 8 runs, 10 runs, 12 runs, 7-game win streak, blah, 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 every year. Win 100 games, check, and then get bounced by a team who's built better. Sucks. Tired of it. 877-337-6666. 1122 on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. All right, 1128 back on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney show. Tiki is out. He is back on Monday. 877-337-6666. That's our number. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. You guys want to get me directly, as many of you do, at Brandon Tierney. Might even hit you back. Usually the meaner the better. Take that back. The meaner, the more likely I respond, you know? Like, I'm not really in the business of, trust me, I mean, you get equal amounts of both. Like, you ever see this? Hoff does this, actually. Somebody will tweet you and they'll say, dude, love the show. Oh, my God, you're so amazing. And, like, you quote tweet it and you say thank you so everybody can kind of see the compliment below.
Of course.
Hoff does that all the time. I actually don't do that. What I do is I will subtweet the diss, and especially the expletive-laden diss, and I'll say, appreciate your fandom, appreciate your listening, give us a call sometime. There you go. You disarm them. If you disarm them of hate, where do they go?
I did love that. I saw it the other day. Someone did that over the weekend, and
yeah,
they were like, you're the worst show ever.
Oh, yeah,
suck.
Yeah.
You're like, thanks for the support.
Yeah, man, it's all good. 877-337-6666. Call in sometime, you know?
Give it a shot.
My buddy just texted me, guys I used to have season tickets with for the Jets. And they said they weren't really fully sure of how the finalist process works. Obviously, the news yesterday with Klecko, which is amazing. And I said, basically, guys, unless he gets arrested, he's in. I mean, this is the final hurdle has been hopped over. Joe Klecko's going to Canton. And they're like, we have to go. And, you know, I didn't even think about that. Like, we have to be there for that.
I think we start planning now.
Well, I'm not including you. I'm not saying you're not a Jets fan. You're not a Jets fan to the quality necessary.
But if the show goes as a whole, like, I'm not a Yankee fan. I went to the Judge Chambers.
That's what your son is a Yankee fan. That's why you went.
Well, no.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I went because you go. He wasn't going to go originally.
That's true. I guess that was the last minute.
The show was going.
You did have to do a little work. That's true.
I did.
Now, if we would have gone last night, it would have been rough because we'd have the rain delay. Would have been rough for the kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Game ended at midnight.
When would you have left? Because there's
I don't know.
At midnight? No way. We're not going to be there at midnight.
He's 7 years old, Colton, and he's here today. I don't know. Hey, Colt, do me a favor. I wanted to ask Colt real quick a question. Just answer quickly here, buddy, because Daddy's working. Real quick. No, just right in there. Hoff, just set him up in there real fast. Okay. So,
what's up?
Hey, buddy. Colt, you can hear me, right? Okay. So, remember we were watching the home run, and even though we don't like the Mets, we watch the Mets every night as well so Daddy could do his job. And we saw Beatty hit the home run on the second pitch that he saw, the first swing. Remember the kid on the Mets with the home run?
Yes.
Remember? Okay. And I said, Colt, if you ever made it to the majors and you hit a home run, do you think Daddy would be crying? Remember when I asked you that?
Yeah.
And what did you? Would Daddy be crying if you hit a home run?
Yes, I think.
You think? Absolutely. Would Mommy be crying?
Yeah.
100%, buddy. All right. Let me get back to work. No doubt. I would. How do you not? I don't know how you don't
have to cry.
How do you not tear up?
But the thing, I will tell you this: as a Met fan, I wasn't crying. I was jumping up and down. I was excited. I cry more for the things of, like, the actual, like, youth. Like, when you see those kids that, like, go in last minute, haven't seen a minute all year long, and then they hit, like, three threes at the final, like, the final game or whatever.
Oh, you're talking about, yes,
like,
yes.
That type of stuff, that gets me
oh,
more.
Oh, for sure. I'm especially, like, if it's a special needs kid and they do something so amazing. Yeah, no doubt.
You'll come by my cubicle or whatever, and you'll see me bawling, and people are like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just watching this beautiful video of somebody just crushing. Like, that, to me, is more than any professional thing.
Well, that's different. No, there's no doubt. But you're telling me if JD goes yard, if he gets drafted and he makes it, you're not crying?
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I'm
okay, well, obviously. 877-337-6666. How about Mike on the Jersey Shore? What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT, what's up?
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Good. I'm a longtime Mets fan, but I just got to say one thing. I keep hearing everyone say about the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, their lock for the AL East. I mean, they're only 9 games up. It's still a nice amount of games. If they continue playing 300 baseball, I mean, the Blue Jays or the Rays are going to have a hot stretch. I think, you know, it's going to be getting real close real quickly.
Well, I said that, Yankees Mike. Only... Listen, Mike, last night was the first game. I know some people were, you know, a little bit over the top. Oh, Yankees going to collapse. Oh, here we go. Going to be worse than when they collapsed up 3-0 against the Red Sox in 04. No, I didn't say that. But I'll tell you this. Watching last night, losing 4-0, I'm like, this game's over. And that's the first time I said to myself, the Yankees could really, truly collapse. I thought it last night. I said that to start the show.
I mean, they still could. Sorry, I didn't hear the beginning of the show.
Anything's possible.
It's not such a long shot. I mean, the reason the Jays have been playing really bad, the only reason why the Yankees are still on top, have they been playing, you know, even just a little bit above average, it would have been really, we'd be off 5 or 6 games by now.
That's true. Now, but that's the side that's, you know, laced with fear and trepidation and anxiety. And there's an element of that, no doubt. Now let me give you the positive side. You ready? First of all, it looks like that cortisone shot worked out a little bit for DJ LeMahieu. Pinch hit last night. And he looks like he's back. So DJ's back. Okay, number one. Number two, Stanton's on the way back. I know he's seeing live pitching. He's tracking, actually, is the expression. And he's doing all of the baseball workouts. Stanton's going to be back. Judge will go on a heater again before it's all said and done. And, you know, and eventually, you know, Bader's going to be playing and Benintendi's going to have a week where he hits, you know, 470. That doesn't mean that they're good enough to win the World Series, but I would think that there's enough to stave off everybody. But I don't know. Angelo's in Suffern, New York on the Fan. Angelo, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, BT, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, good. Listen, not blowing smoke, but I do got to tell you, you do a great job on this show. You actually talk real sports, and it's a nice change to what goes on up and down the dial.
But, appreciate that, man. Just doing what I do, but thank you, man.
I know. A couple of things. One on Beatty, and then one on just the Mets in general and the attitude. But,
yep, go for it.
I'm with John Beatty. You know, just don't want to put him in the Hall of Fame. I know you said he's the Mets third baseman for 12 years. Obviously, hopefully we have him for 10 games, let alone 12 years. But I want to go with you on that, not only the exit velo, but the fact that first pitch he saw in the bigs from a lefty, he just sat there and
yes.
just laced it to the other side.
Yes.
I mean, that's very promising. So,
I'll tell you. So Angelo, well, I'll let you finish, but I'll definitely.
Yeah.
I said that. I'm like, man, the home run was amazing. First swing. Second pitch he sees, storybook stuff, no doubt. But keeping that front shoulder in on a lefty as a lefty batter and hitting a ball 113 miles per hour the other way, that's not by accident. The kid can rake.
No. No doubt. And the one up the middle, too, was hit hard. It was just playing there. But,
yeah, true.
But you know, and you said about the whole thing, you know, it is what it is till it changes. Uh-huh. I got to tell you, though, you know, you look at the Yankees back in the 90s, you know, Torrey might not have been that big, you know, in the media guy, but you look at the leadership, you Jeter, Bernie, all these guys, it was expected to win. You had to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not there. And you look at the Mets now, and you just can't discount what Buck has been. But then Scherzer, and a quick example of it was like a meaningless run he gave up in like the sixth inning in May. And he was beside himself in the dugout. And if you don't think that a guy like this making $45 million who can't get over the fact that he gave up one little run at that moment and isn't playing for every moment doesn't resonate up and down that dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, in that clubhouse, and I think, listen, who knows what happens. There's a lot of things can happen in the playoffs. But I think the attitude there internally from those two guys alone is resonating. And I think that's why they're doing as well as they are.
That's a big part of it. Angelo, it's a big part of it. There's no question. And that's why, and thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it, man. But, and I know that this frustrated some Met fans early, but it is what it is. Like, I had a rough, now I'm not saying the Mets are winning the World Series, much like I'm not saying that the Yankees aren't definitely not going to go, though the evidence does not look incredibly positive right now, last night aside. I am, as most people are, tangibly driven. Now, what does that mean? Well, yes, when you do a show, when you watch things, you extrapolate, you push the, you know, you take something and you project for a month, or you have some sort of deduction that leads you to an opinion, okay? Now, the opinion might be right or wrong, but in real time, it fits. And my opinion with the Mets early, and I don't apologize for this because I've said enough positive things about the Mets since, where I think everybody knows I have a lot of respect for them and the way they're bowling every night and playing hard. But I watched the Mets early. Again, they weren't good last year. So it's not like it's the same guys who were playing well. I saw a team that was doing things that were almost less, more intangible than tangible. And that takes a real leap of faith to fully get behind that 100% that it's going to be there for 162. You know what I mean? And I remember tweeting it, and I feel like it was early May, mid-May, the latest mid-May. And because I was watching the Mets game, and I saw a stat, and the Mets had the most infield hits by the second most. They had 20 more infield hits than the team that was number two in infield hits. And I'm like, all right, well, that shows that they're making contact and they're running down the first baseline hard, but do eventually those get gobbled up and do they become outs? And if they do, does that adversely affect the Mets' offense? These were all questions I had. You know what I mean? So, and the same goes with their energy. Like a lot of the early season touting of the Mets was, you know, Buck, which is obviously right, and oh, they play hard, and oh, they've got grit, and oh, they run the bases well, and oh, they're fundamentally sound. But outside of Alonso, nobody was mashing. So I was just with a little trepidation as I evaluated the Mets. And then you see him play for four months-ish, weather injuries, and still be really, really good. Oh, yeah. No, they're good. All right, Tiki and Tierney back on the Fan. Hey, 15 minutes from now, going to go all in. And then at 12:05, my buddy Jerry Ferrara is going to stop by. Talk a little Yanks. He's a big Yankee fan, big Giants fan. See if he wants Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor to start. We'll bounce around with Jer. A little Knicks stuff. When's Mitchell coming here? All that good stuff. And then at 1, Flash, John Flaherty on the Yes Network and from the Yes Network. Tiki is out, so I'm going solo today. Let's get, how about Mark at Oceanside? Mark is on the Fan. What's happening, buddy?
How are you, BT?
Hey, Mark.
BT, yesterday you and Tiki were talking about you cannot stand Yankees who are hitting under 220 with under a 700 OPS.
Yes, Tiki, yeah. Tiki actually said there should be a rule that if you're hitting under 220 with an OPS of under 700, you are not allowed to play. And I agree. Literally not allowed to play.
And what came to mind when you were saying that, me being a diehard Mets fan, is Eduardo Escobar, who's been just an absolute bust this year.
Mm-hmm.
With a terrible OPS and horrible with runners in scoring position.
He's been a mess.
And just as you said that, in walks this baby-faced child of 6 foot 3 inches, 200 pounds at third base.
Yep.
And I'm saying, I was thinking of you guys when he took that swing and launched that one over the fence in right field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, do we have a third baseman for years to come? I mean, the Mets have been really not very good third base since David Wright left.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid's swing, I love a guy with a slight uppercut lefty, not a huge uppercut.
Yeah, not like Matt Olson. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yep.
And when he hit, I love a guy also who can hit the ball hard to the opposite field.
No question.
And when he hit a smash to shortstop, the fact that it was an out, it didn't matter to me.
Nope.
But when you can hit a ball hard to the opposite field, and if you can do that on that Jeff McNeil basis, or DJ LeMahieu, who I love those two guys because they're not power hitters, but they're terrific hitters.
Yes.
And baseball needs more Jeff McNeil.
And by the way, McNeil's red hot. I mean, he is red hot. Yeah.
But as a Mets fan, I also really appreciate LeMahieu because he's not really a power hitter.
No.
He'll hit some in Yankee State. But a guy who can hit the ball where it's pitched, hard, doesn't matter whether he's batting righty, lefty, he hits the ball hard whatever direction the ball is in.
Yeah.
He adjusts his swing. There's just not enough baseball players like
that. No, because it's not marked. It's not taught. It's a lost art, man. It's go up, you know, try to, at this level, try to hammer one 440 feet. And if you swing a few times and miss, it's no big deal. Get them next time. It's accepted.
Yeah, but there's a need for the Tony Gwynns.
Oh, I agree. Mark, let me tell you something. First of all, I totally agree, and thanks for the call. Like, growing up, I mean, obviously Mattingly all time, not even close. Mattingly number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Don Mattingly maniac. I am Mattingly, right? All right, but then I look at my other favorite players growing up. I loved Tony Gwynn. Loved him. Loved George Brett. Now, keep in mind, that you think about the whole Yankee Royal rivalry. When it was at its apex, you know, when Chambliss went yard in 76, I was 2. So I didn't look at Brett as the enemy like maybe Yankee fans did from the 70s due to that. So anyway, Brett's always on my list, right? Mattingly, Gwynn, Brett. I saw old Rod Carew, but I really liked Rod Carew. I always loved Ripken, the only righty who makes my list. But, like, those really are my guys. And obviously Boggs, you know. And every one of those guys, Mattingly, Brett, Tony Gwynn, Ripken, and Boggs, and I'll even take Ripken out of it, those lefties, balls outside, flick it to left, balls inside, bang. Drop the barrel and do some damage, you know. And that's just gone, you know. It's gone. It's gone for the game. It's gone. It's gone. O'Neill had some of that. And I think that, you know, the real evidence where it was gone for me, it's probably even goes back a little further than you would think. Because I think a lot of it is analytically driven. Well, of course it is. But in the eyes of the average fan, you know, uppercut, you know, trajectory, all that. To me, I first really noticed it when Jason Giambi got to the Bronx. Because, let me just pull up his stats here. I know his first year with the Yankees was really good, and then he went on a wild roller coaster. But, I mean, Jason Giambi had a couple of years in Oakland. Now, it's a big ballpark, blah, blah, blah. Let me just pull it. Like, he had like 330. I remember watching him against the Yankees. Foul pole to foul pole. Let's see. All right, so Giambi hit 333 at the age of 29 in Oakland. He hit 342 the next year. Wow. Then he hit, and then he came here, hit 314, and then it was all over the map. But I remember, like, once he came here, he started to pull the ball, or tried to, because of the short porch. And it messes up even the most beautiful swing. Now, he was also jacked up on juice and all the other stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the days of just, I'm not saying that there's none, but I love when I see a kid like Beatty come up, who is 6'3", who is rail thin still. I mean, if I was watching the College World Series and he was the number 3 hitter for, I don't know, whomever, Oklahoma State, like, yeah, looks like he's the junior in college, you know? So he's going to put on more weight naturally. And if he just keeps his approach outside up the middle, boom, hard up the middle left field, inside, crush it. This kid's going to be really good, really good. Joey's in Levittown. What's up, Joe? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, BK?
I'm good, Joe. I'm good. Thank you, man.
So, I just want to say, I mean, I think he's going to be great as well. I'm rooting for him as well. But, I mean, Mets fans, what are you guys doing writing him off? They're already saying they're going to have him for 10, 15 years. He's a generational talent. He's the savior already. I mean, one game.
Doesn't take much in this town, Joe, in case you haven't noticed. We tend to react a little bit both ways, right?
No, fair enough. And, I mean, like I said, I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm rooting for the guy. He's great already, but, I mean, come on.
Well, okay, how old are you, Joe?
I'm 28.
All right, so you weren't around for the Moss stuff because – think about it. We did the same thing with Kevin Moss. I was in high school when Moss was mashing, you know, quickest to 10 home runs as a rookie, quickest to 12 home runs as a rookie. We got the next Gehrig. We got the next Maris. And he was gone before we knew it. So we're guilty of it as well. But the track record for Beatty in the minors, the prospect ranking, the swing, now that I get to see him against a major league, I've seen videos, as I said before, but I know it's just a start, but, man, he's an impressive kid. He's an impressive player.
It does look promising, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we're a little, Joe, we want to see our own prospects come up and not take donuts here, Joey, is what we want.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, finally, we're giving them a shot, but, I mean, what took so long?
I don't know. Well, you know what took so long. They're called big contracts, and it's called, you know, certain people trying to justify some bad moves. You know, first of all, I think this is the case. I'm not 1,000% sure. Hoff, can you check this? Because you talk about third baseman. I feel like not only perceptually, but literally outside of me, even more than catcher, I think. I feel like third base is the least represented position in the Hall of Fame. I feel like that's the case. Like, I look at, obviously, Mike Schmidt, phenomenal. You know, Boggs is in the Hall of Fame. Brett played a lot of first base at the end, but obviously a third baseman. Like, there's just a Brooks Robinson. There's a dearth of all-time great third baseman in the Hall of Fame. It's a very short list. And it's not just unique to the Mets. And the Yankees obviously had Nettles. They had Boyer who could pick it. Before that, yeah, I'm sure I'm missing names, of course. A-Rod when he moved over to third base. Brocious was a good fielder. But the Mets, and I'll get my answer from Hoff in a moment, the Mets third base list is really short, more than most. Like, I remember growing up, I liked Hubie Brooks. I remember Hubie, you know. I think he wore number 7, right? Top 10 pick, Hubie Brooks. Hubie was good. Remember, he had a long hitting streak, like 23-game hit streak. Anyway, like, Hubie was the third baseman when I first started watching baseball, right? And then, obviously, David Wright, an all-time Met. And maybe an all-timer, like, if he does, like, a certain Hall of Famer if he stays healthy. And Knight was great for the 86 Mets, and Hojo also played short. But, like, the Mets have not had a lot of good third basemen. They just haven't. Hoff, do you have the answer? Is that true?
I do.
Is that accurate?
So, I mean, I'm going to say this sarcastically. There's only 3 designated hitters, which is...
Oh, you're a clown. Harold Baines is one of them. Big Poppy. Yeah. And who's the other? And Edgar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but as far as position players go, you're correct. Third baseman, there's 17 players in the Hall of Fame at third baseman.
Okay. So I mentioned Schmidt, mentioned Boggs, mentioned Brett, mentioned Brooks. Throw some other names here.
Home Run Baker.
Okay.
Jimmy Collins.
Okay.
Ray Dandridge. Oh, Judy okay. Johnson. You wow. said Chipper, right?
I didn't say Chipper.
Chipper Jones.
Actually, Chipper was on the other day. Was that
Jerry and Sal
had him? It was a good interview. That was good. Yeah.
George Kell, Freddie Lindstrom, Eddie wow. Matthews.
I mean,
Paul
Eddie Matthews. I think Eddie Matthews was on the cover of the first Sports Illustrated ever.
That I don't
think.
Know.
57. I got to double check that. I think most of those names, I don't even know
I
much
mean,
about those
there's
guys.
There's like 4 more guys and still
keep
like
going.
Well, you said Brooks Robinson, right?
Yes,
Ty Trainer.
Oh, well, that's a name you have to know if you're a big time. You got to know that name.
Deacon White.
Don't know that name.
Judd Wilson, and Ron Santo.
Well, of course, it took forever for Ron Santo to get in. Yeah, interesting. So I don't think it's just specific to the Mets, who have had very few third basemen that have had, you know, great impact. Now, also, the Mets were only born in 62, unlike some other teams that were around, you know, 50 years before that, 60 years, even more in some cases. So their list will be shorter. But Hubie, David Wright. I mean, who are the other really, really, really good Met third basemen?
Ty Wigington?
Stop. Come on, dude.
Hojo.
Well, Hojo played a lot of shortstop. Hojo's best years were as a shortstop. You know? The 30-30 stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a good list.
See, I like doing this once in a while. See, I still think that in sports radio, you can still go down these roads and, you know, hit a little history and, you know, and mix it all into now. I enjoy that stuff.
I didn't realize how, like, I knew it was prestige to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but it is tough.
For third base?
Anybody. Well, I'm going through all the lists.
Listen to what you just said. It's tough to get in the Hall of Fame.
But there's 20 second basemen that are in the Hall of Fame. The baseball's been around for over 100 years.
Yeah, okay.
There's 20 second basemen. There's 17 third basemen. It's a very small list of players.
Yeah.
They get elected each year. And meanwhile, NFL, how many NFL guys get elected each year? What is it, seven?
Well, I don't care. As long as Joe Klecko is going to, Joe's finally getting in. That's what matters.
Yes.
And can I say something? This will probably be unpopular. And, you know, I love them. I really don't care that Darrell Revis is going in as a Jets fan. And I'm not going to, you know, listen, oh, I'm the biggest Jet, whatever. I'm secure with my Jet level of fandom. I'm a crazy Jets fan, whatever. I need to prove it. But he won a championship with the Patriots. Greatest Jet. You can make the case he was better than Namath in terms of all that stuff. But, all right. Huh? Schwartz, real quick, you agree with me on that?
I'm with you 110% on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No disrespect, amazing player.
And let me tell you, when word broke of Klecko yesterday, I turned to, we were away, and yeah, I turned to my wife and I said,
about time.
We're going to go, if everything is okay,
yep.
if things will work
He's
out,
getting in.
I want to go. Now, it makes it even better for the Jets
mm-hmm.
if
it's both of them.
But it doesn't do anything
well, we
for
might play in the Hall of Fame game is what it might do.
Well,
play the Jets.
That'll be an extra day in Canton.
There we go. All right, coming up after the update, we're going to go all in. And then after that, my buddy Jerry Ferrara will join us here on the Fan Tiki and
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.